Good morning. I greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful morning. I thank the Lord for allowing me to be here, and I thank the Lord that you are there where you are. Thank you for tuning in this morning. It is a great blessing to be able to commune with you. I call your attention to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 in the Holy Bible. In Psalm 23, the reading begins at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I call your attention this morning to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 2, that great chapter in the book of Luke, where Luke details for us the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a human woman, born according to the will of God. We read in Galatians chapter 4 about his birth, and if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. It is always, I think, or normally good to turn in your Bible to the scripture that the minister is reading, if you can do so without breaking your concentration. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the following is stated. Galatians chapter 4 in the Holy Bible, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, Galatians 4, 4, you may want to commit that to memory, that reference, Galatians 4, 4. He was born to a human woman under the law. For Galatians 4, 4 tells us, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so we see a condition under which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to earth to redeem mankind, to redeem them, according to Galatians chapter 4, that we're under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In Luke chapter 2, not only are we given a step-by-step and chronological account of the birth of Jesus Christ, we also see that he was presented to the Lord. For in Luke chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 22, Luke chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 22, we find the following words, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Again, Luke chapter 2, verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Let's travel now to a point where he is now a little older. Let's travel to Luke chapter 2, verse 40 and following. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 and following. Beginning reading at Luke chapter 2. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem under the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 50, 51 actually. Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 51. Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 51. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to commune in your word and to open in the hearing of others the meaning of your holy writ. O Holy Spirit, have thine own way. Be in everything I say. Cause it to be to the glory of God, and cause it to redound to the good of man. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My friends, let's commune together for a short time from the topic, The Humble Master. The Humble Master. Those of you who are saved know that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born of a virgin, was, is, always was, and always will be God. God the Son. He was God when he was born. He was God when the worlds were made. The worlds were made by him. He was always God. But God the Father had a job for him. He had a mission for him. He had a project that he wanted his son to do. And so he sent him to earth in human form. We're told that he was made a little lower than the angels. A little lower than the angels. That was for the purpose of fully accomplishing the work that God the Father had for him. If you've never read Hebrews chapter 1, that is a must read for anyone who wants to begin to understand the mission that Jesus Christ was on when he came to earth. Hebrews chapter 1 reads as follows. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtain a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Verse 9 now, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall Verse 11 now, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And so we get a view of who Jesus Christ in the flesh really was and is, yet he is God Almighty. He is the God-man. So we read here in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, that Jesus Christ was not only born, was not only presented to God, but that he grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That is, Luke chapter 2, verse 40. For it reads specifically, And the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now we're told in verse 41, Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And so here we have them going to the Passover at Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the child, going with them. He is 12 years old. And we find that after it is over and they're on their way back home, his parents assume that he is among the group, the kinfolks. They go apparently a day's journey and they search for him and don't find him, so they turn back. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 verse 46, And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So here you have a 12-year-old boy the Lord Jesus Christ, who assumedly would have been among the crowd going back home, but yet he had tarried in Jerusalem. And from the reading in the passages here, it appears that he tarried on a mission for his father, for his heavenly father, for he actually had two fathers. And we see that here in Luke chapter 2, verse 48. His mother refers to her husband as his father. For in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, it says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." So here, the virgin who bore the Son of God refers to that son as being the son of her husband. For she uses the word, "Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing, thy father and I." And so he had a heavenly father. But also, Joseph was ascribed as being his father, and he was of the house and lineage of David. And it had been prophesied that he would be the son of David. And so, yes, when God gives you a job and ascribes a role to you, that is your role. And Joseph was his father as ascribed by God, and his mother here confirms that. For she says in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, it reads as following. The entirety of Luke chapter 2, verse 48 reads as follows. "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." So his father loved him, and they both were concerned. When you don't know where your child is, you're concerned. If you're any kind of parent, there are times when children go away, they don't stay in contact. The parents love them. But when they get to be adults, particularly, sometimes parents don't know where they are. And parents do sorrow. That's natural for parents. And sometimes parents must live with those sorrowing if the child doesn't come back and doesn't get in contact. Jesus, in this situation, was on a mission for his father. And so he says to them, it says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Now that's quite a statement for a 12-year-old. Quite a statement. Also in Israel, according to their laws and their traditions, it was dangerous to disobey your parents in Israel. I won't go into that now, but it was a dangerous thing to be disobedient to your parents in Israel. We see that in the Old Testament. A whole lot of bad things could happen to a person who was disobedient to his parents. Yet Jesus, because he knew his mission, and because God the Father had sent him, it was important for him to complete and perform that which God the Father had for him. And that's instructive to us. It is important for us to perform that which God the Father has for us, which the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. We must understand that we are his, and that we are under human beings But God is our God. He is our Lord. He is our Master. And we must serve Him first. We must serve Him first. We must obey Him first. And verse 50 says, "And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them." They didn't understand. His parents did not understand. Verse 50 says, "And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them." But verse 51 is the one I really want to talk about for just a few minutes. "And He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart." Luke chapter 2, verse 51. I want to just highlight that, "and was subject unto them." Here we have God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, He has been made a little lower than the angels for the purpose of death, so that He could pay the penalty for all our sins, those who come to Him in faith. And yet, knowing who He was, obviously He knew who He was, because in verse 49, He speaks about His Father. And that word "Father" in the King James Version is capitalized. In verse 48, the "Father" that Mary mentions is not capitalized. So surely here we see two fathers of Jesus Christ. We see His earthly Father and His heavenly Father. And so He had tarried at Jerusalem in order to fulfill a mission, apparently, that His heavenly Father had given Him. And so now He has come back to Nazareth with His parents, having been found by them. And the Bible says He was subject to them. This is amazing. Because we know that He knows who He is, because in verse 49, He refers to His Father's business. And that word "Father" is capitalized. The point here is, we must be careful to be about the mission that God gives us. And we must be careful to be humble in what we're doing. There are some people who will not humble themselves or be subject to anybody. When you find a person like that, then you have found a person who probably is not going to be a good team member, but always going to do their own thing. It's important to take heed to oneself, to yourself. And make sure that you know what the situation is. In Jerusalem, He knew that the situation required Him to tarry behind and to be about His heavenly Father's business. And yet, once His earthly father and mother found Him, the Bible says He went down with them to Nazareth and was subject unto them, was subject unto them, was subject unto them. We have to understand the situation. There are times when we will be leaders, and there are times when we will be followers. As a leader, we must be a good leader, and as a follower, we must be a good follower. And we must be willing to be subject according to the will of God. Sometimes pride lifts up human beings, and they are not willing to be subject to anyone. It is as if they seem to think that they themselves are God, that they cannot humble themselves under anybody else. There are sometimes groups of people that way. It appears that there are people who look down on other people and would never subject themselves to them. It is reported by Christian writers that in Rome, when some of the Romans who were high-ranking people became Christians, that they would go to the Christian worship services, and the slaves would be the ministers and the bishops. The slaves, their slaves would be the ministers and the bishops, but when these masters in Rome, who were oftentimes perhaps wealthy people and so forth, in charge during the week time, W-E-K time, but when it came to go to the house of the Lord and to worship, they were willing to submit themselves under the ministry of the people who were their slaves. That is written in Christian history. And so the Christian must be willing to submit. And we see this here in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. And he, meaning Jesus Christ, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. If the Lord Jesus Christ, who obviously knew exactly who he was, who referred to his father as being God, as opposed to his earthly father. For he says, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? His mother had referred to Joseph as his father, but he refers to God as his father. So he knew who his father was. He knew his father was God, but he went down to Nazareth and was subject to them. We must take heed to ourselves. There are people who are proud and don't intend to ever subject themselves to anyone else. There are those who, for some reason, have always been privileged, and they think they should always be over everybody and everything, and should never subject themselves to anyone. The Bible talks about pride. The Bible says, pride cometh before a fall. Had Jesus Christ been proud and said, well, my Father is God in heaven, and I know you may have been concerned about me, but he wouldn't do that. That's not the spirit of righteousness. That's not the spirit of holiness. That is not the spirit of godliness. That is not the spirit of God. He was God. And when he who is God subjects himself to human beings for God's purposes, why can't we subject ourselves? Why can't we be subject to people? Why can't you be subject to people for God's sake? He was in that family for God's purposes, and he needed to subject himself to the leader of that family, who was Joseph, and to the co-leader or sub-leader, who was his mother Mary. For God gave the command to man, M-A-N. And so Joseph was the team leader. The man in the family is the team leader, regardless of what people are saying now. And I won't get on that because I am raising my voice now, because I see so many people going against God's will. But in the family, the man, the husband, is the team leader. And here, Jesus subjects himself to that team leadership. And I would say to you, my friends, you shouldn't take a job unless God tells you, in which you are not willing to cooperate with those who are over you. Why would you get on a team if you're not willing to follow the mandates of the team leader? Now, there are times when human beings can lead wrongly, and we have to make that known, and we're not to obey them in opposition to God. That's not what I'm saying. But in a team that is functioning properly and being led properly, it is our obligation to submit ourselves and to obey them, because a team leader who has members that won't obey him is a weak team leader. Those members who won't obey him are weak links in the chain. And when he meets with other team leaders and they agree, well, my team will do this, and another says my team will do that, and he gets ready to say, well, his team will do such and such, but he knows he can't count on one or two people or three people in that team. They're weak links. And then the other team leaders begin to understand that they can't count on him because he can't count on his people, because his people are not willing to be subject to him. Jesus Christ, though master, was the humble master. He knew who he was. He knew he was the master. And yet he understood that there were times, according to the will of God, when he should submit himself to his earthly father according to God's will and to his earthly mother. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this lesson, this message. Thank you for our understanding. And I pray for all who are listening that wisdom will be gained from what has been read and what has been said. Forgive us for our sinful pride in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Father God, for refusing to do that which it is your will for us to do. Oh, help us, Lord, and lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. I pray for all now, Father God, who are listening, that this sermon has been and will continue to be a great blessing to each and every one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friends, if there are any of you who are not saved, please read the Holy Bible, particularly the book of Mark in the New Testament and the book of John. Read the book of Mark and the book of John. You will find so much information about being saved. And when you are saved, be sure to contact a Christian minister and or ministry. Be sure to request and receive Christian baptism. Christian baptism is very important. Be sure to request and receive Christian baptism once you know that the Lord has saved you. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.